Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Mother and daughter Clelia and Clarabel Murphy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, thank you for having us.
And Clelia, people will know you as an actress, and Clarabel, you are a props designer, and you're actually both working on the same show at the moment, and we'll get to that. But we asked you in today for your observations on each other, one generation looking at the next generation, similarities, differences, etc. So Clarabel, what are you Gen Z?
Yeah, I'm Gen Z. I had to look into it.
We both had to Google this.
Okay, so go on, Clelia. I did a deep dive. Are you Gen X?
Hold on, yeah. I think we need to break this down.
Okay.
Can I break it down? Because I hadn't a clue.
Go on.
I had to ask Clara what she was. I had to Google what I was. I rang my mother this morning and I said, Savina, what generation are you? And she said, well, I'm 1956. So yeah, I'm a flower child. I said, no, you're not. You're a boomer. I am not. So this is a new conversation. And I don't think people realise what generation they're in. So
yeah, I think a lot of people do, yeah.
I don't. Well, I had to Google it. Maybe I'm the only thing on the planet.
Anyone under 20 thinks we're all boomers, basically.
Listen, and boomers
we're not.
And you're not a boomer
no,
either.
No, and you're not either.
I'm not either. We've gained a couple of years.
So are you Gen X?
I'm Gen X. So
that was the start of it all. That was the first
conversation.
That was the start of the whole defining generations like that, I think. Yeah.
Well, it's according to Google, it's not a hard science. So so the way to breaking it down is, it's 20 years. I didn't think it was that much. So it's 20 years and it's incidences or lifetime experiences that kind of groups together.
Right? Okay.
So I'm going to start at the beginning. Can I start at the beginning?
How long is this going to take? I knew I would lose control of the whole thing here within 30 seconds. Is this your life, Clarabel? Yeah?
Maybe.
I should be at home learning lines and doing dance.
Okay, go on. Give us the short version of this. I can't take a history of the whole world now.
Well, it won't be right. So the greatest generation, 1901 to 1927. So they had the Great Depression, fought in World War II, hard work and grit. That's what we're known for.
Great.
The Silent Generation, 1928 to 1945.
Okay.
McCarthy era, communism, World War II.
They're ashamed of themselves, basically.
Well, yeah, the shame is great, though. It all depends where you live, right?
Yeah.
They were called the Silent Generation because they were to be seen and not heard, right? Baby Boom Generation, the boomers.
Cool. I'm not a baby boomer. I'm Gen X.
I thought you were a baby boomer. I thought I was going to give you...
No, I know I'm Gen X. Like, Gen X all started when I was...
They get some lackery, the boomers, the baby boomers. I think that started in here. So that's
the boomers have all the money and the property and everything.
And it's all their fault.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Boomers and millennials, they get the hardest slagging.
So, that's the funny thing. Gen Z used to be the ones getting all the slagging from the millennials. The millennials thought they were going to be young forever. So as Gen Z know, Clarabel... Do you laugh at the millennials and their old-fashioned ways, yeah?
I think, I don't laugh at them, but I think the millennials are a bit...
Go on.
I don't know.
They're now known the answer.
No, let her talk.
This is great, though. This is what Google told me. They're now known as the perennials.
I don't know.
Okay.
They're having babies now.
I think for a long time, my age group even was, you're just a millennial, but we're not. It's difficult to answer because I don't really look at, I don't really pay attention to the generation difference.
See, this is it. The crowd now don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
You see, we're so judgy, the previous generations, whereas you have reached enlightenment on this.
Yeah, don't care what you do.
Okay, so look, we'll start. Enough, clearly, enough of that.
I did a lot of research. I'm very excited by it.
Do you know what? We'll do something on it another day with you.
I might have to write a book on this. Yeah,
I think you might. Maybe a one-woman show. A History of the World with Clelia Murphy. So... In terms of what you both have in common, so you're both creative, obviously, and Clarabel, you actually did used to act in the Dublin Youth Theatre, National Youth Theatre, then you went down the kind of art route.
I realised I didn't like being on stage or in front of the camera. I wanted to be behind it, do the arty things.
So did you become an actress because, do you think part of it was seeing your mother?
No, I mean, it was definitely a world that I was used to being around, but I think I joined Dublin Youth Theatre because you don't go to DYT to learn how to act. It's more of a, you go to make friends and do workshops in all different aspects of creative elements. So I kind of fell into acting there, but I don't know, I suppose I learned how to be a storyteller more than anything. And I learned on for myself, I learned how to, I wanted to tell stories, be part of telling the story rather than.
Isn't that lovely, though, that that's what most people are figuring out, like, OK, how can I get points in the leaving to do X, Y, Z, a job I'm possibly not going to like, but where I'll get a job and everything. But is your generation more inclined to kind of think, what do I love? What am
I? Yeah, I think so. Well, you definitely, my mother, sorry, I'm saying you taught me how to, you were always very much find something you love doing, stick at it and find a way of getting paid for it. And then I think in DYT, I found people who were also like that, who all of my friends are creative. And I think definitely this year for a lot of us, we've kind of had that breakthrough of, OK, we can do it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's Kelly, a testament to DYT, though, as well, in fairness.
Yeah, but is it a testament to that age group as well? Because our generation, roughly speaking, like even though you went into the creative kind of uncertain atmosphere, you did then probably, like, when a steady job like Fair City came along, you probably tended to cling to it, that old-fashioned security thing.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know if you had it as well, like even when I was leaving, I looked at the CAO and kind of went, there's nothing on this that I wanted to do. The only thing that really appealed to me was theatre studies in Trinity. And they turned me down twice. And the only reason I wanted to do that is because we were given the notion that if you don't have a degree, you're going to lose out. And the acting was a diploma at the time. So if you wanted to do acting in college, it was only a diploma.
Right.
We had that, if you don't do a degree, you're not going to get it. So that came from that. So... And in hindsight, it's a great thing. Like, yeah, Fair City might have seemed like security, but it wasn't that. So even when it came to you doing your Leaving Cert, it was that fine balance of work hard in school. And then you have options. The hard you work, you kind of have to play this race.
You have to play the game a bit.
To a point.
And then, okay. So you didn't tell her to completely follow your dream. Like, it was like, follow your dream, but with a backbone.
Whatever your dream is,
common sense
I'll
there.
Support you in it. But it still all boils down to hard work. You know, Oprah has a great thing. You know, the harder she worked, the luckier she got.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tenet in our house.
Yeah.
Would that be it?
Yeah, I think so.
We just happen to be...
Whatever it is you decide to do, just...
Work hard at it.
Commit to it and give it your all.
Okay. And you're starting to see a breakthrough now into it becoming viable for you, Claribel, yeah?
Yeah.
And is there a kind of a time when you're a bit worried going, what am I doing here following my dream?
Yeah, 100%. Yes. For the minute, I have to just...
Okay.
I don't let those thoughts in too much.
Sometimes you do and you have to face them down and kind of go, well, I can be paralysed by that fear of what's going to happen next, or else I harness it and I make something happen next.
Mm. Okay.
Make a phone call, have a conversation, start writing something down. I've just decided now I'm going to do a one-woman show about... The generation game. Do you know what I mean? It's all about the power of next, but that's the artistic world.
Yeah.
We never had a full-time job. Even Fair City wasn't a full-time job. I could have been written out of there at any point. I had no security.
So actually, rather than being more airy-fairy when you're an actor, you have to actually be a bit more go-getter than people who are just stuck in a job that they know is there every day for them.
I never had the luxury. I always had to save in order to pay all of my bills. It's only when I look back that I can say, oh, I earned that much money last year. But I could never, you can't really forecast what you're going to learn next or earn next year.
Okay.
So you are living in a state of kind of nerves.
Living with a bit of uncertainty. They say it's good to be able to live with uncertainty. So listen, in terms of when you look back now, Clelia, on our kind of formative years, say the 80s and 90s for you. And we look back on that now and we think, we thought we were all kind of new and that we were liberal and all the rest of it. Problematic, looking back? Like you talk about the Spice Girls and stuff
Oh my God, well, like when you think about watching the Spice Girls Posh Spice being weighed on national television to see what weight she was after she had her first baby.
Yeah, she was.
So we watched that. But it's the conversations that, instead of us talking up about it at the time and saying, that's wrong, the conversation kind of starts at the kitchen table. We're kind of going, I'd say, I have a problem with that. But it's the next generation who's listening to it. And they're the ones who really make the change. They're the ones who will start and go, no, that's not right. So our generation, for example, we were the first ones to go that, you know, being gay is not such a bad thing.
And it's our generation that, so we lived through the AIDS epidemic, the nuclear threat. We started the conversation about LGBTQ+. So they're the good things that we started. But we were influenced by the generation before.
Okay, so we were the bridge, really. And do you think now, Clarabelle, your generation has taken it to another? Would you look back on the 80s and 90s now and say that was actually quite a problematic kind of ignorant time in many
Terrifying.
Ways?
Terrifying. Yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
No way. We thought we were like...
Whatever, that's
we thought we were great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about it, like?
Oh, gosh. Just like...
That was that...
Yeah, for the I think the queer community and people of colour, that's the kind of big things that...
So we were still judgy back then.
There was markers. Yeah. There's always markers. Remember the time
even,
you rang
even
me?
You're saying like around the kitchen table, you could say like, oh yeah, it's desperate, what's going on? But you're not going to say Active. That when you leave your front door because people are too scared to talk out, I think, a lot.
I remember one marker of a generation, and you know, things that mark us apart. Do you remember when you were walking to school and it was the vote for marriage equality was up and the posters were start being up?
This is the very start of the campaign.
At the very start of the campaign. Clarabelle, you rang me and you went...
On the way to school. I was in hysterics.
She was so upset. She rang me and she said, somebody has put up a no poster.
Vote no.
And I went, yeah. She said, well, I didn't realise that there's actually
14.
People out there who would stop another human being from just marrying the person that they love. That was a real
Obviously
marker.
I knew homophobia existed. I don't think I was prepared for this. I knew that we were going to vote on marriage equality and that's brilliant. Yeah. I wasn't prepared for
it to be a conversation.
Yeah.
Now, conversation is a good thing because that's conversation.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing.
But it was
a
moment when I had to go, God, yeah, she's always lived with... You know, queer people in our home. You know, we love the gays in our house. So it wasn't something that was different from her. So, but that was a moment in that really marked the generations apart.
Yeah. What about fashion, Clarabelle? Do you, so vintage when we were young was 60s, maybe a bit of 70s stuff. How do you look back on like the fashion and appearance stuff and everything in the 80s, 90s?
Oh, well, I love people wearing whatever they want to wear. The quirkier, the better. Or, you know, like, pick your piece of wardrobe and wear it with confidence, whatever.
But you're looking at it from a sustainability bit. We would have looked at that and said, did you get that in a charity shop? Oh, we'd never wear that. Oh, my God. They've made it... They've brought the conversation on. So... Vintage.
My generation's definitely all about getting rid of fast fashion and shopping ethically and knowing where your clothes come from.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's going on with the moustaches? Are they like ironic or what's the story?
Oh my God, I've no idea. Personally, I haven't tried to grow one myself, but
we spend our time trying to not grow
moustaches. Get rid of moustaches. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. It's kind of like the mullet, isn't it? They're a bit bizarre.
Can I ask you a question?
And is that, you see, we would look at that and go, they're nearly being deliberately kind of ugly. They want to look like kind of, I don't know, what a hillbilly looked like on television when we were young. Is that now aesthetically attractive?
I think it's similar to the double denim. The double denim is very popular now.
Yeah.
So
we couldn't wear double denim.
And you look at double denim and you don't think, oh, that's funny, they're ironically doing double denim. You just think, that looks cool. Yeah,
I like double denim, yeah.
But we wouldn't be able to wear a double denim in our time. We'd have been laughed out of the discos.
No, if you were at a status quo gig back in the day.
That's a different generation.
you're right.
Do you know what I mean?
So it skipped a generation, the double denim.
I often think that grandparents and grandchildren get on better than the ones in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
I think it always kind of skips it. Like you and as well, we came from a multi-generational household. So we're a bit of a mix and a mush.
We had four generations in one house for a long time.
So Clarabelle and my mother are the best pals and get on great.
Mm. Okay.
And communicate very well.
So was that really good for you, to grow up with different generations,
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm very lucky. I think a lot of people don't meet their great grandparents.
We were talking about Clarabelle's best friend was my grandfather.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when I had Clarabelle, I was 22.
You had me.
22. So yeah. There was my grandparents, grandma and granddad, my mum, my uncles, my sister, then Clarabelle.
So we, that real takes a village.
We had a proper village.
And were they all way easier on you than your mother, yeah?
Tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yeah, but was I hard? I wasn't hard.
She was a very easy kid, but I didn't get the luxury.
Like I remember if you say so yourself.
No, she was a great kid.
I was a great kid.
I just remember being, I thought I was, but I also thought I was one of the adults.
I had to explain to Clarabelle.
I didn't think I was a child. First. I looked at other children and was like, they're very bold, aren't they? Do you know, I didn't think I was...
Yeah, that's a nice way to grow up. Okay, moving on. Love and romance and all that. And clearly, you were in here just over a year ago talking about finding love again, being a newlywed. So, Clarabelle, your partner is Crosby.
Yeah.
First things first, does he have a moustache?
No, but he has a beard. And he actually did mention a couple of months ago, he's like, maybe I'll just do the moustache. Yeah. Now you're making me think about it. I never thought about it before.
And the beards, are they regarded as attractive as well these days?
Well, I like Crosby's beard, yeah. And he has long hair too.
Okay. And does he have one of those big bushy ones, like, or is it a...
No, it's neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Clelia, do we like Crosby?
Oh,
do you approve?
Yeah, very much so.
I think she likes him more than me.
Hold on.
Sometimes.
Oh,
that's
one of
harsh.
Those, yeah.
But I do say to him,
I think
regularly,
that could be, we did a piece about narcissism a couple of weeks ago.
Maybe.
Does she flirt a bit
I
with him?
I think she's terrified that we'll break up and I'll have to move home or something.
No. Yeah. That's horrendous. I've done a lot of things, but I don't think I'm a narcissist. What she says a narcissist.
Say, no, she's not.
No. That's
but
right.
What
you're
I do say to Crosby quite a bit is that there's no returns on this one. So whatever life throws at you to figure it out.
Because I wouldn't come back, Clel.
Well, that's fair. that's
well, you don't call her mum, no? Clel.
Oh, no, she does. I am mum.
Oh, you are mum. No, you're mum. Yeah, sorry.
Like, but just there when you weren't thinking it was Clel.
Sometimes I do say Clel.
That's a particular thing in our house. If we want to annoy each other, I'll call my mother Savina. All right now there, Savina. Right. Or else if I want to really have a tickle at Clarabelle, it's all right there now, Savina. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of... Getting married and all that kind of conventional stuff be important to you, Clarabelle?
Yes, I would like to get married, and we do talk about it. I think I'm not much of a party person, but I do like the idea of celebrating love and gathering.
And your friends, are most of them interested in getting married? We were led to believe that marriage is kind of doesn't matter anymore to kids.
I don't. Maybe. Definitely among my friend group, it wouldn't be getting married for a religious purpose. It would be getting married for
a party,
a celebration, and yeah, being with your person.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not how long are you together?
Just over 3 years.
Oh, right. Okay. So yeah, no escape.
And
ye rent, gee?
We rent. Yeah.
And would you like to buy a house?
Yeah.
Any chance of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think
yeah,
we put our minds to it. Yeah. I don't see why we shouldn't. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because you meet a lot of people your age who are saying we have given up hope of ever doing that. Okay.
Yeah, I suppose that's personal to them. I don't think I've ever been a giver-upper. This is the country I want to live in, and I want to buy a house, so we will.
You have every confidence and we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll just do it.
It is harder for them than it was for our age group. Is it Clelia?
I don't know. It's very particular. We love boxing ourselves into different things. Like, it was just as hard for my mother. It was just as... Like, Clarabelle works very hard and she saves very hard. And in order for me to buy our first little apartment, I had to work very hard and save very hard. And the same thing... So my mother would have had 18%
interest rates. At one point. Yeah.
We didn't have that. We just have... It's... I think, again... Especially with this conversation and kind of boxing everybody off, it's very easy to say we all have this commonality, and where we do, what also stands us apart is our social backgrounds, where we are in life,
course,
and our attitude.
Yeah.
So it's easy. Yeah, I hate generalising too much.
Okay. Do I think who's on their phone more?
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, addicted. I love a doom scroll. I'm not going to be shamed into it. Actually, I do. I love a TikTok doom.
Yeah.
It actually calms me for some reason. But there are times where I will delete and switch off. Particularly like a week like this, or a week where I'm working very hard, I'll turn off social media.
Okay. But you're worse on it than you are, Clarabelle. She's worse than you, yeah? Is there any signs of your generation kind of turning against the phones and the social. There is,
yeah. I know, like, I don't have TikTok, or I've just recently deleted Instagram, like, not just the app, like, my account.
Why?
I just no interest in being online anymore. I'd rather... I don't want to... You find yourself kind of default picking up your phone to scroll through it. I want to get better at keeping my head up and looking around.
And are you a unicorn there, or is that becoming common among your age group?
I was only with my two best pals yesterday, and both of them said they were thinking about just deleting it for a while as well.
Okay. So, yeah. And do you go for sunrise cycles as well?
Yeah, I haven't in a while, but yeah, when I was younger, my pals and I, we did a lot of just getting on the bikes and heading out.
If everybody wants to adopt you now.
she's a great kid. I look at Clarabelle and go, I wish I was that kid.
Yeah, and obviously she didn't get it from you, because you're going around with your nose stuck in the phone and everything.
Narcissistic child now, by the sounds of it.
I was in first year, I think, in school when, like, Snapchat became a thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I went into first year thinking I was going to Hogwarts, and we were all going to, I don't know, read and play sports together, and I got very anxious about people just being on their phones and heads down constantly and sending photos to each other. I didn't understand it.
But there is ferocious pressure at a particular point to get Snapchat, isn't there? Because are you not left out a bit otherwise?
Yes, you are. I don't think I...
You kind of opted
never
out.
Really, I never really... I was quite lucky. I never really suffered from that peer pressure.
Fair play.
Thing, but like I do see it in younger,
the anxiety in
teenagers, in
the younger
if
people.
They don't have them, there's no way of communicating. They all talk through Snapchat.
Yeah.
No text.
So if
no
you
texting.
Take if you it's and the anxiety of a parent to say whether this is this the right time for me to give my child a phone, because on a practical level, I gave Clarabelle a phone because she was going into first year, and it came down to me being able to ring her and saying I'm collecting you now, right? But it's also a tool whereby their generation. And now the younger generation, all they do is talk to each other. There's a different form of communication.
People communicate differently now.
Completely differently. And we're being naive to think that they are speaking to each other the same way we would speak or communicate in school. There's a whole different level of existence.
What's the difference in the communication, Clarabelle?
No one calls.
Yeah.
Calls anymore. It's all through text, and there's no tone in text. And then I think I've noticed that people are trying to interpret
your
tone.
Yeah. Okay, what did they mean
there?
Interpret
tone.
In a
text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not even with the, like, I think even, you know, the language of emojis are different now, because emojis have different meanings to things. Or
And even the language that's used with the younger generation, it's a total head wreck.
So that's why I opt out. I find it easier to opt out than try and understand.
Okay, and you have found a tribe who have opted out too, so you're living real life. Okay.
Yeah.
Neither of you are big into partying, I think, no?
No.
Never into it. Not really. Wasn't ever big in... Now, don't get me wrong, I did do the clubs occasionally. You know, the Lilies, but I never was really into it. So having Clarabelle so young was a kind of a great excuse not to have to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I wasn't ever comfortable. So we're very similar like that. So that's not maybe a generational thing.
And Clarabelle, you say that you both have lots in common, but your brains are wired differently.
Yeah, I think you're a fast thinker.
Yeah,
I'm a slow thinker.
I can start sentences midway through. That can drive Clarabelle mad. She'll say, "Can you start the sentence at the beginning, not the part in your head?"
Oh yeah. Okay.
Can you finish your sentence?
Yeah.
So that's where I would be, but I was always in a rush. And I'm not sure if I learned that or was that. I was working all the time when she was a little thing.
Mm.
So when I was in Fair City, I also did to supplement my income, because we'd only be working maybe 15, 16 weeks a year. I'd teach drama. So Clarabelle came with me. And in fact, as we were passing for a coffee this morning, Clarabelle said, "Is that Lucy who we taught?" She'd have been six.
Hey, Clelia, what are you most proud of about Clarabelle?
God, that's it. When I look at you, I look and I see the young one that I'd love to have been at your age. At every age. Even when she was a toddler, she
yeah.
was properly, authentically herself. She was cool. So I look at Clarabelle now and she's, even as a little thing when it came to Santa Claus, she wanted art. She never followed anybody. She was on her own little path.
That's brilliant, my isn't printer. It? Yeah.
She got a printer from Santa Claus one year. She wanted a printer. So if she asked Santa Claus for a printer, she got a printer.
And Clarabelle, what are you most proud about your mother?
I think you are fearless. No, I think you have...
I am full of fear.
Yeah, okay, but you don't let your fear stop you from doing things. Whether that's take a new job or take a risk. Yeah, you display fear, but you don't let it stop you. And I think that you taught me very much how to let fear get in your way.
Yeah. So you know what? That they say is courage. Courage is not having fears. Courage is about having the fears, but doing it anyway.
But can I turn this back?
Isn't that a lovely thing?
It's a beautiful thing to say, but like, this is the important thing to put it. Everything needs, we're kind of living in a world without nuance and context. To put that into context for you, it was my job to provide for you. Now, this is not turning it on you. I had to keep a roof over our heads.
Yeah.
So that's where my courage came from. So you're the thing that inspired me every day.
Oh, stop.
I know, but like, you're asking a question. I'm giving you a general...
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. And listen, you're both working together on a new show, Celtic Exodus. Tell us about that.
It's kicking off on Wednesday in the Complex. It's a new Irish musical, Brian Warfield of the Wolftones. He's written it and scored it. And it's a great story of love and hope. Great story. Great characters. Great tunes. Brand new story. It's set in the 1845, so it's a very dark time in our history, but it's from those dark times that you want to sing and dance and survive most.
Okay, sounds like a tricky balance.
Do you know what? And it's a showcase. Yeah. We're starting small. It's an incredible there's a cast of 20 in it. Wonderful cast. Dennis Grindel and Aoife Fitzpatrick are our stars.
It's amazing.
They're star cross lovers.
Is it? Yeah.
It's actually amazing.
Yeah. I'm in it. Clarabelle's doing the props and... So this is, I think, our first project properly working together. Mm-hmm. Because Clarabelle you did Alison Spittle's comedy Nowhere Fast and played the daughter in it. I was cast, but I wasn't available to do it. I had to turn down the part.
Cast as her mother?
Cast as, no. I was one of the other characters in it. But okay. That would have been the first time that we would have worked together. Yeah. But I wasn't allowed to do it. And that was the start of me going, I'm going to change jobs.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in. That was really lovely. It was terrific.
Thank you for having us.
Celtic Exodus runs from the 22nd of January till the 25th for now at the Complex in Dublin. And you can get more details of that on thecomplex.ie. Clelia and Clarabelle Murphy, best of luck with it and thank you very much. And I managed to say Clarabelle every time without going, Clarabelle, because it's a real temptation, isn't it? Okay, thanks guys. We'll take a break.
Thanks so much.